This morning our scripture comes from Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 35 to 45, and it reads, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do us a favor.' 'What is it?' he asked. 'In your glorious kingdom, we want to sit in the places of honor next to you, one at your right and one at your left.' But Jesus answered, 'You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I'm about to drink of? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?' 'Oh, yes,' they said, 'we are able.' And Jesus said, 'You will indeed drink from my cup and be baptized with my baptism, but I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. But God has prepared those places for the one that God has chosen.' And when the 10 other disciples discovered what James and John had asked, they were angry. So Jesus called them all together and said, 'You know that this world, kings are tyrants, and in this world, officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many.' This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." This morning we see the disciples talking to Jesus. Isn't it something that we can be in a conversation and we can be telling people what our problems are, and all of a sudden they start talking about themselves? Have you ever had a conversation with someone about your situation, about your fears, about your health problems, or in our jobs, or problems in our families? A conversation where we were looking for someone to listen to us. We were looking for someone to have an empathetic heart. And we were waiting for that, and all of a sudden they started talking about themselves. That's what we see in the scripture this morning. Jesus had just finished telling the disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be rejected and be killed. And right after that, the disciples begin to ask for a special place in heaven. It happens, doesn't it? We have even either done it to someone ourselves, or someone has done it to us. It's called life. It's the human condition. Today, John and James, the two brothers, they are jockeying for positions of power in the kingdom. Now, this conversation takes place, mind you, 5 days before Jesus was crucified. 4 days before his betrayal and trial, 1 day before Jesus clears out the temple, and a few hours before Jesus rides into Jerusalem. One would think that this would be the best time for the disciples to start practicing the teachings of Jesus, but that doesn't happen. Here are moments before the crucial events in their lives and Jesus' lives, and they're trying to figure out how to be first, how to sit on each side in the kingdom. Isn't that the human condition? James and John's mother, mother Salome, she was the sister of Jesus' mother, Mary. So see, they were first cousins. So also that Jesus had also taken them up on the Transfiguration Mountain. And he had also taken them when he went to Jairus' daughter. So So see, they were in the in crowd. They were in the favorite circle. And so they felt sometimes like you and I, when we're in the in crowd, we look for special tickets, don't we? When we're in the in crowd, we look to sit on the first seat, don't we? When we're in the in crowd, so they thought they were in the in crowd. So surely they could go to Jesus. So they were just trying to get those good seats in the kingdom. But even they were trying to even do it behind the other disciples' backs. Isn't that the human condition? You see, when we, like I said, when we're in the inner circles, that we usually want that first place in line. But we see something different with Jesus, the way he talks to these disciples. Many of us can identify with this scripture. James and John, they are telling Jesus that, now we have been helping you now for 3 years. We want to be rewarded. They want a seat in the kingdom. We say the same thing, don't we, just in other ways. We said, I worked for that place for 40 years. I need to be the first in promotion. We say, I took a pay cut when my small company could not pay me. I need to be promoted. We say, I was the family member who went the extra mile when we were in trouble. And now you're talking about me? I sacrificed not going to school for the family. I'm the one who made it all happen. I need the seat. I want to be on the right and the left. And then we see in verse 41, it says to the other disciples, no, that's not what it looks like. That's not what it looks like, Jesus is saying. Now, mind you, Jesus is not rebuking or getting upset with these disciples because they were ambitious. Ambition in itself is a natural part of the human makeup. We all are ambitious in one way or another. Ambition is a healthy thing when it motivates us to reach our God-given potential and our God-given given destiny, to use our God-given skills. So it wasn't that. When we are honest, we all want to feel a sense of importance and value. We all want recognition for who we are. We want to achieve distinction. So ambition is basically a good quality. It only becomes bad when it becomes selfish or ruthless or mean-spirited or dangerous to other people. God wants all of us to be all that we can be. Ambition that leads to fulfillment. Of God's purpose. And it's important to note that Jesus doesn't get upset with James and John for being ambitious. He doesn't put them down for having a drive and a desire. Jesus is pleased that they desire kingdom greatness and that they want to be in the kingdom. But Jesus does want to explain that biblical ambition needs to be transformed into humility and service toward God and toward other people. Jesus wants us to understand that we need to climb down the ladder to get up to greatness. That's what he's saying this morning. And that's when he explains that greatness almost always involves hardship or suffering in life. He asked the disciples, do you really want this? Do you really know what you are asking? Are you ready to drink from the bitter cup? Because the cup is not filled with mango juice. The cup is filled with bitterness. When we really begin to serve God, he asks, are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Are you able to do this? Are you counting the cost? Are you able, in other words, do you really know what you are asking? He is asking them, are you able to handle the cross? Jesus was crucified with a thief on the right and a thief on the left. And he's saying, do you really want that? In verse 39a, it says, are you able? They say, yes, we are able. See, they assume that they can endure all of the suffering that Jesus might have to endure because they have not understood fully the things that have been predicted, even for their own lives. They have not understood that fully. Now, the brothers didn't know at that time, but Jesus was predicting their own lives. These two brothers in the future would face suffering because they served God here on earth. See, Jesus informs them, keep serving me, prepare to suffer for me, and God will determine your status in the kingdom. I used to hear the older people back home say when I was growing up, if you don't want to be criticized or misunderstood, don't say anything. If you don't want to be crucified or misunderstood, don't do anything. If you don't want to be misunderstood or criticized, don't go anywhere and don't make a difference in life. See, this is what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, are you able? He flipped the script on them. He was saying that Jesus flips our world completely upside down. He says that greatness is found not in the first, but in the last. That's why he says, are you able? Because he's really saying, do you really want to be last? Jesus is saying, it's not those who accomplish great things, but it's those who serve all people. The question this morning is, are we able? Jesus flips our world completely upside down, and he's asking, count the cost. Jesus is sometimes reminding us in this scripture when he asked the disciples, are we able? He is asking, are we able to serve those people who exhaust us? He's asking, are we willing? Are we able to serve people who cannot pay us back? He's asking, are we able? Are we able to work with people and serve people who don't promote us? People who are emotionally fulfilling, who are not emotionally fulfilling sometimes to even be around. That's what he's asking. And that's what he's asking for us this morning. No one here today would probably say, we don't believe in being a servant. But we all probably have said, I don't want to go and do that. That's what Jesus is talking about this morning, if we're honest. Are we able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow? In other words, are we ready for the fallout that could happen when we serve God and when we serve God's people? Are we ready for the courage and the commitment it takes to serve God and God's people? Are we able? Are we ready? See, Jesus didn't tell the disciples this morning. Jesus does not say to them, okay, if you put 3 years of blood, sweat, and tears into your service, then I will make sure that you get a good position in my administration. Jesus does not say that. Jesus does not say, if you cast out 400 demons in my name, then I will see that you get a nice house or a great car, or I will see that that article about your great work will end up in the newspaper. Jesus does not say that. No, Jesus says, I do not want your service. Jesus says, I did not come. You did not come to serve. I did not come to serve you. You did not come to serve me. I came to serve God And when I came to serve God, I became the hands and the feet of God. You see the difference? The disciples said, give us what we want. But Jesus said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for everybody. See, the word even in that verse 45 lets us know that even God's Son came to serve us. If anyone ever walked on this earth should have been served, it should have been Jesus. Jesus have commanded legions, could have commanded legions of angels to do his bidding, but he did. Instead, he walked around dusty roads and served people. Jesus could have come to us as a king, but he wasn't born in a palace. He didn't come with great wealth. Instead, he was born in a stable in poverty. Jesus did not come to be served. The scripture says he came to serve. Are we able this morning, Park? Are we able? Are we able to address homeless camps? Are we able? Are we able to address caravans traveling, walking from country to country? Are we able? Are we able to keep families and help families affected by hurricanes and towns affected by hurricanes? Are we able? Are we able to work in our own families and hold down confusion and discord and miscommunication? Are we able? Are we able to serve in significant ways right here in this church? Are we able to sit at the table with other people who don't look like us, who don't talk like us, who don't think like us, who don't value what we think? But are we able, as the pastor said in the prayer this morning, are we able to sit with unity and love? Are we able? Oh God, there is so much work this morning, but God has given each one of us a unique gift. A special gift and talent for us to serve God in our own unique ways. Yes, Jesus came and Jesus served. And that is what he is calling us to do this morning in the scripture. Are we able? Are we able? Jesus is saying that after the supper, I got up. And I wrapped the cloth around me and I knelt down and I began to wash the disciples' feet, the same people who before dawn would go to sleep on me when I began to pray. Are we able? Are we able to work with those persons that before the dawn came, that Judas had already betrayed Jesus? That's what Jesus is talking about. Are you willing? Are you able to drink from the bitter cup? Are you able this morning? Are you able? As I close, let me share a defining moment with you that I've had, that I had 30-some years ago. I always knew God. I always went to church. I always did what I was supposed to do. I came from a praying family. I came from a line of pastors. I have one sister and she's a pastor. So I always knew what to do, but it was this defining moment that doesn't mean anything to anybody, but it means something to me. I was at a hospital and we were I was there for my annual mammogram. Now, women, you know what I'm talking about. And there were about 12 women sitting in this comfortable waiting area, and they were looking in magazines or watching the television when all of a sudden we heard a screaming and swearing coming from the room that we had to go in next. So everybody was looking bewildered and wondering what was going on. And all of a sudden, I had in my mind that whoever it was in there, that how different she was from me, because she was in there screaming and how different I would be in there. And all of a sudden, you know how we do. We see something, we hear something, and all of a sudden we say, we're above that person. You know how we do. Or we wouldn't do that. Or if we see someone and we want to walk by them, but sometimes the Spirit doesn't let us. And then all of a sudden the screaming and the swearing stopped. And that door opened and everybody looked down. Because we were different from this woman. And that lady came and said, one seat away from me. I said, oh, Lord. I'm looking in my magazine. You know how we don't see it, right? Do we drink? Are we able to drink from the bitter cup? That's what Jesus is asking the disciples. That's what Jesus is asking us. Are we able? She sat one seat from me. I'm looking in my magazine. Don't want to see. You know how we don't want to see. Don't want to say anything. And something began to rumble in my spirit. And I heard a voice clear as day in my mind. Not out loud, but in my mind, in my spirit. And it says, if you are who you say you are, if you say you love me, if you say you're willing to do my will, if you are willing to serve my people, then the least you can do is look at this woman. I looked over. She was weeping. I said, excuse me, ma'am. Could I get you some water or something? She said, no. She said, you know, she looked at me. She said, you know, I have cancer. And she said, I was waiting for my family and nobody showed up. I'm by myself and now I'm waiting for some staff from other part of the hospital to come down and get me because I have to go and do some more testing, some more procedures. And I'm just upset. I don't know what to do. That conversation couldn't have been more than 8 minutes. 30 some years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember it because all that woman was doing was looking for some hope. Who in here this morning is not looking for some hope? We all want hope in our lives. I couldn't tell you what she looked like. I couldn't tell you what she had on. All I know, when I got in my car that day, that I was changed. You see, it's something about going beyond yourself, taking a risk, trusting in God. Courage, faith to walk out to do those things that God has called us to do. Jesus says to his disciples this morning, do you really know what you're asking? Are you able? Church, I ask you this morning, are you able to drink from the bitter cup? But I'm here to tell you, from my own experience, if you drink from the cup, you'll never be the same. This is God's word for God's people. Amen and amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.